إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session or our second lecture from the book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiyah al-Mansura by al-Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah. The topic or the chapter that we are taking from this book is dealing with al-Iman, or faith in al-Qadr, yani the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the first lecture, we took the first question, which was question number 138 from this section, and we also mentioned from other sources a definition of al-qadha and al-qadr and some of the benefits of believing in it. Before we go to the next question, that is question number 139 and inshallah question number 140, it is our practice that before we begin a new session, we try to review briefly what we covered in the previous session. So last week and this week we didn't, the brother was unable to copy the study guide, but whoever has received it by email, then try to benefit from that, inshallah, to be prepared for the questions that we want to review with. So last week in the study guide from lecture number one, there were just a few questions. The first question, the original question from the book, what is the evidence for the obligation of al-Iman bil-Qadr? That is, having faith in the divine pre-decree in general. And this question from the book, we broke it down into two parts. A, mention a dalil or evidence from the Qur'an, and B, mention a dalil or evidence from the Sunnah. So, we can start with the Qur'an. If anybody can give us an evidence of the obligation of believing in Al-Qadr. An evidence from the Qur'an. Now, Siddiq.
Surah 33, ayah 38.
Uh-huh. What's that? What does it say?
There is no blame on the prophet that which Allah made legal for him. That has been Allah's way with those who have passed away of the prophet of old. And the command of Allah is a decree between them.
Now. And the end of the ayat is what the Shaykh quoted, and the command of Allah is a decree determined. وَكَانَ عَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. Yani this ayah is a proof of the fact that when Allah decrees a matter, when He decides a matter, then it must be. And this is what the scholars have referred to as the universal will of Allah, or al-irada al-qawniyah. That is, something that Allah decides to happen, that must happen, whether it is from the things that Allah loves or not. But when He decides it, it must happen. And this is yani the foundation of the saying of the scholars of the past, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ, that whatever Allah wills, it must be. And whatever He doesn't will never be. Another ayah from the Qur'an. What other ayah did the Shaykh mention in the evidences last week? Somebody give us another ayah now. Surah Taghabun. Number?
Ayah 11.
Okay, number 11. Ayah 64? Ayah 11. Now, Surah 64? Now. Allahu bi kulli shay'in alim. Naam. Naam. Meaning of the ayah?
Every calamity that falls
is by the permission of Allah. Every calamity. There's no calamity that befalls except by bi idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. Meaning by the will of Allah, by the decree of Allah. Naam. And whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide their heart. Meaning whoever believes in Allah and believes that He is the one who controls everything and that He has decreed this, then Allah will guide their heart and make it easy on them. That calamity. Now, another ayah. One other ayah. Somebody give us one more. In any case, now, Abdurrahman. Surah Hadid, 57.
Ayah number
22. MashaAllah. What is the meaning of the ayah? Okay, 57:22. Who remembers this ayah? Now, help me. Nazir al-Din. Now. Is that ayat from Surah Al-Hadid? No, that's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Sounds like a translation of a hadith. Naam.
No calamity befalls on earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees. Allah Al-Mahfuz. Before we bring it into existence.
Naam.
Remedy that is easy for Allah.
No calamity befalls in the earth or in yourselves, except that it is already written in a book before we bring it into being. This also is one of the very important ayats from the Quran dealing with this subject that is extremely helpful if we reflect upon its meaning and accept this reality. And that ayah, and the ayats that follow, would also go on to make us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this known to us, this reality, in order that a person would not grieve over what passed them by, nor would they rejoice in what they have been given. Yani, a person should understand that if good comes to them, if they accomplish some good, it's by the decree of Allah. And they shouldn't become proud from this. And if any harm befalls them, it's also by the decree of Allah. And you couldn't have escaped this. So you accept it and you surrender and be pleased with what Allah has decreed. Okay, the Shaykh also mentioned a few other ayats, but for the sake of time, from the Sunnah, a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that the Shaykh mentioned last week. One of the hadith that we mentioned. Now, hadith of Salama. Now, the hadith of Salama where the Prophet ﷺ, she said, had taught them, if any calamity befalls you, then you should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then you should make dua to Allah, that Allah, yani, give you something after that, after the calamity has befallen you, and yani, bring that which is better than it after it. Now, so this is also from the Sunnah, and that hadith has a reference to the ayah from the Quran. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is, those who are patient, when a calamity befalls them, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now, another hadith. Now, Ahmed. Naam. Everything. Now, the meaning of it?
Everything is by the God of Allah. Even
Al-ajz means? Inability. The person's inability to do something could be from laziness or just the person being incapable of doing something. Now, in case means the person who is proficient, who is capable, who is able, who has been given the ability to do things. Now, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ بِقَدْرٍ. Everything is by the pre-decree of Allah. Even a person's inability to do things, for whatever the reason may be, or a person's ability, or proficiency, or skillfulness in doing things, everything is by the decree of Allah. Another hadith. I think the Shaykh mentioned few hadith, at least how many, four or so? Naam. Give us one more hadith, somebody. Somebody who took notes. Look in your notes. Help us. Naam. Hadith of Jibreel. What is the hadith of Jibreel? Somebody else tell me. He brought the hadith for us. Who knows? What's the hadith of Jibreel? Naam. What is Islam? And he explained that the arkan of Islam, naam. Naam. That's the point. Naam. When he asked him what is Iman, he told him the arkan of Iman, as-sitta, the six pillars of Iman. To believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day. وَتُؤْمِن بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And to believe in the qadr, the divine pre-decree. It's good and it's evil. Yani the good, that which you like that comes to you, and that which you do not like. And these are, yani the reason why I want to review, because maybe somebody missed the class, or somebody came late, or somebody was maybe not paying full attention, and you might catch some benefit from the review, and as well also for you to see where you're at. What did you retain from what you heard the last time? And also to encourage memorization. It's incumbent upon us, even the older people, to try to memorize something from the evidences that confirm and support and clarify what we believe in. We believe in something, we should know what are the proofs for it. And if you can memorize it, that's better. If you can't, then at least try to come with the meaning of it. But if you can memorize it, that's even better. So you can speak with certainty that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. If you can quote the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is authoritative to the highest degree. What greater authority can you come with? Then you're quoting from the Quran and from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So quickly, the remaining questions, define the two expressions al-qadr and al-qadha, clarifying the difference between them. Define the two expressions al-qadr and al-qadha. Naam. To measure, okay. Something with detail. That's linguistic meaning. Okay. That's the linguistic meaning. Okay, go ahead. What about qadha? To judge, to rule, al-hukm, naam. So, some of the scholars said that the meaning of a qadr is at-taqdeer. And this word actually has many meanings. And people have translated different ways. Some people said to measure. But in any case, in Arabic, the scholars say at-taqdeer means at-tafseel. To give details of something. To give something in detail. Like when Allah pre-decreed, He pre-decreed every creature's existence in this world and everything about it in detail. So at-taqdeer, it means at-tafseel. Or it means at-tabyeen, to make something clear. The details of something makes it clear. If they are not details, it might be foggy, it might be unclear. But with details, a picture, the image of anything becomes clear. Or at-tamyiz. At-tamyiz means that which distinguishes. Yani from the details of what Allah has pre-decreed, every creature, every created being is distinguished from another. Because every one of them has a lifespan, when it will come into existence and how long it will be in this world. And what will be its sustenance, and what will be its actions, and its characteristics, and everything about it. And for the human beings, what will be their end? Yani, al-jannah, al-nar. As far as al-qadha, the linguistic meaning of it is al-hukm. Yani, to make a ruling, or a judgment, or a decision. And these two words, linguistically, their meanings are different. However, in the technical language of the Sharia, the Sharia definition, these two words have a close relationship. So, what can we say about the relationship, the difference between them and the relationship between them? Naam. Ahmed.
When they come at the same time.
If they are mentioned together. Their meanings separate, they are different. Each one has its own distinct, special meaning. Now. But if they are mentioned separately, then each of them contains the meaning of the other. Now, it contains the meaning of the other. So if you say al-qadr alone by itself, it has the meaning of qadha along with it. And likewise the opposite. But when you mention them together, al-qadr and al-qadha, then each one has its own meaning. So what is the technical, yani sharia meaning, naam, Ibrahim, of al-qadr and al-qadha?
Al-qadr is the divine pre-decree.
The divine pre-decree meaning? What Allah has written, of everything that's going to happen in this world until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Naam. And the qadha is the execution of that, bringing it into being, creating those beings and giving them life and bringing them into this world for them to live out whatever Allah has pre-decreed for them. Or any incident that takes place in the life of any human being or any creature, Allah is the one who brings that about, causes that to happen, creates it. He is the creator of the creatures and their actions and their characteristics and everything about them. Allah is the only creator. There is no other creator besides Allah. Naam. And we'll talk about that in a little further detail today and in the weeks coming. Okay, finally, mention at least three of the fawaid, benefits of iman in the divine pre-decree. Somebody give me one of them. A benefit that the person will realize or achieve or attain by believing in Al-Qadr. Naam, Nazir. Okay. Good, good. Yani, that believing in the Qadr and Qadha, believing in this reality, if a calamity befalls a person, the weightiness of it, the difficulty of it, the bitterness of it is lightened, is lessened. Because you accept that Allah has decreed this. And Allah has the right. And Allah knows best what's for us. So if He has decreed something, He doesn't decree for the believer except that it will be good for them, no matter what it is. Now, a second one, Ahmed.
Instead of thinking the people, you have to thank the people, but instead of giving all your thanks to the people or the person who has assistance in this life, you thank Allah who will come to us.
Now, giving the credit for the bounties and favors that come to you to Allah, even though you recognize the creature, the created being that it may have come through directly, but qadr wal qadha makes us to know that everything is by the decree of Allah. And therefore, ultimately, all good goes back to Allah. And recognizing this and not forgetting that is one of the greatest benefits of believing in qadr wal qadha. That a person recognizes when anybody does any good to you, to know that ultimately, really, it is from Allah. And that doesn't mean that you're not grateful or thankful to those people, but you know that really it's from Allah. Naam, Ibrahim. Naam, naam. Believing in qadr al-qadha and seeing the events taking place in the universe, the amazing, fantastic, beautiful things that are happening in this universe, knowing that all of this is by the decree of Allah, that He pre-decreed it and brought it into existence, made it happen. This makes a person who is conscious of this aware of the great hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His actions in this creation. Anything else? Naam. Okay, it makes a person to be more certainty in worshiping Allah. Naam. Okay, he who is not grateful to the people is not thankful to Allah. But okay, again, this is back to what the brother is saying, that we should be appreciative to the people, naam, who do something good and recognize that. But ultimately, the real gratitude and the source of all good is going back to Allah. Finally, I just want to add, naam, Ibrahim. Naam. Iman in general and rububiyyah specifically. That Iman, a person's iman is not completed or perfected except by believing in al-qada wal-qada, except that a person believes in this. It's not completed and perfected except by believing in this. This is one of the six pillars of iman. And more specifically, the perfection and completion of iman in rububiyyah is completed by this iman in qada wal-qada, because the qadr is from the actions of Allah, and the actions of Allah come under the category of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Huh? You don't think it's not? Anyway, somebody could check with the sisters, inshallah. Okay, so we will stop here. We'll stop here, inshallah. And I just mentioned that we did send out a supplementary reading book list. And the supplementary reading book list is for the purpose of whoever has the ability to purchase any of these books. So if you have them, then you can go and cross-reference what we're doing here in the class from other sources. So we have mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 books. Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmed. Alumat al-Itiqad, the sufficiency and creed of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, Shar al-Sunnah by Imam Barbahari, the creed of Ibn Abi Zayd, Al-Qayrawani, Walaykum As-Salaam, Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah, two explanations of Aqidah Wasatiyah, one of them by Sheikh Ahmed Yahya Najmi, and the other by Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen. One of them by Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, the other one by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, the explanation of Al-Ha'iyah, the Ibn Abi Dawood al-Sijistani, explanation by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, and another explanation by Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr. All these books are available in the market. If you have any of them, then we have listed the pages in which this topic came, so you can easily go back and refer to it, and we hope that, inshallah, that you will read from other sources, that you will do supplementary reading as much as you can on this very important topic, because we're only taking a part of it. I mean, we are taking some of it in general and some of it in detail, and there's much, much more that a person can learn concerning this beyond what we're going to cover in this brief course. So we hope that you will go back and read from some of these other sources and see what different scholars have said about this topic and benefit from all of them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The question that we want to take today is question number 139. Kam ratib al-iman bil-qadri? Yani, how many are the maratib, the levels of al-iman bil-qadr, yani faith in the divine pre-decree? How many are the levels, the degrees of iman bil-qadr? And this question is an extremely important question. And even though the answer to it is relatively brief, and we'll finish with it and go on to the next question tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, but this is something that we should read about, yani extensively, from as many sources as possible. And in the notebook that we gave out last week, in the back there are some five supplementary items, and from amongst them is a brief, very, very brief explanation of this same issue. So the Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he says, al-iman bil-qadri ala arba' maratib, that having faith or iman in the divine pre-decree has four levels or four degrees. And the first two of them are connected to one another. That is, al-ilm wal-kitaba, knowledge and writing or recording. And the second two are also connected to one another, al-mashia wal-khalq, yani that Allah's will, yani is supreme over everything. And yani whatever He wills, He brings it into existence by creating it. So the Shaykh says, al-martabatul ula, the first level is al-iman bi-ilmi Allahi al-muhit bi-kulli shay'in. That is, having faith in the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah, that it encompasses everything. Ilm Allah bi-ilmi Allahi al-muhit bi-kulli shay'in. The knowledge of Allah which encompasses everything. There's nothing outside of the knowledge of Allah. This is the first level or the first degree of iman bil-qadr, that Allah knows everything. His knowledge encompasses everything. الَّذِي لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Yani he is the one whose knowledge, nothing is absent from it, nothing escapes from it, not even that which is equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant in the heavens, nor in the earth. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ عَلِمَ جَمِيعَ خَلْقِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. And that Allah, believing that Allah the Most High, He already knew everything, every one of His creatures, before He created them. And He knew every creature that He was going to create even before He created them. That means that Allah's knowledge is not something that is renewed or that He comes about new information. Rather, He already knew everything before He even brought anything into existence. Alaykum salam. وَعَلِمَ أَرْزَاقَهُمْ وَآجَالَهُمْ وَأَقْوَالَهُمْ وَأَمَالَهُمْ. And that Allah, He already knew their provisions, yani whatever they would be provided with in this world, when they came into this world, for the whole time of their existence. And their lifespans in this world, and their speech and their actions, everything that every creature would say, and everything that every creature would do. وَجَمِيعُ حَرَكَاتِهِمْ وَسَكَنَاتِهِمْ وَأَسْرَارِهِمْ وَعَلَانِيَاتِهِمْ. And that Allah knew every movement that they would make, and every stillness, and every secret, and everything that they did openly. وَمَنْ هُوَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And that Allah, believing that Allah's knowledge also encompasses that He knows every one of His creatures who will be from the people of Jannah, and everyone who will be, every one of them who will be from the people of the hellfire. And we'll come back to this topic, the evidence of it, which clarify even more what is required of a person to believe in, when we say believing in the knowledge of Allah which encompasses everything, as the first level of believing in Qadr. That these four things, these four levels or degrees, a person must believe in all of them in order to have correct iman in Al-Qadr. The second of them, Al-Martabat Al-Thaniya, Al-Iman Bi-Kitabati Thalika, yani having faith, believing in the writing of that which is just mentioned, of this knowledge, that everything that Allah has knowledge of, that it was written down, that Allah had written it. It is written out. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ قَتَبَ جَمِيعَ مَا صَدَقَ بِهِ عِلْمُهُ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ. And that Allah the Most High has written everything that His knowledge, that He had knowledge of previously, from the beginning. He has written all of this, everything that will take place, everything that will come into existence. وَفِي ضَمْنِ ذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَالْقَلَمِ. And within this belief in the writing, is the belief having iman in al-lawh, yani al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet, where everything was written that would take place in the heavens and the earth until yawm al-qiyamah. And also believing in the pen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and ordered it to write everything that would happen. This is also part of the believing in the kitabah, the writing of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew would take place. These two levels are connected, Allah's knowledge and His writing of what He knew. The third level, المرتبه الثالثه, الايمان بمشيئه الله النافذه وقدرته الشامله. يعني having iman in Allah's mashia, yani النافذه, that must be executed, that what Allah wills, it must take place. مشيئه الله النافذه, yani His will that must take place, there is no escape from it. وقدرته الشامله, and that His power and ability is all-encompassing. It encloses everything. Nothing is outside of it. Whatever Allah wills must be, and Allah's ability, yani, encompasses everything. There's nothing that escapes His power. وَهُمَا, these two things, the mashiyah of Allah, His will, and the qudra of Allah, His power, these two things are mutalazimatan. Yani, they are inseparable. Mutalazimatan, they're inseparable, they cannot be separated. Min jihat ma kana wa ma sayakun, yani from the perspective of what already happened and what will happen, these two things, the mashiyah of Allah and the qudra of Allah, are inseparable. From the perspective of what already happened and what will happen. Wa la mulazamata baynahuma min jihat ma lam yakun wa la huwa kain. But they are not inseparable. They are not inseparable. from the perspective of what did not happen and what will not happen. In reference to what happened and what will happen, they're inseparable, meaning that they must go together. What happened and what will happen is by the will of Allah and His power. And what did not happen and will not happen, these two are not together. What did not happen and what will not happen is because of Allah's will, His Mashiach. It has nothing to do with His power. It's only because of His Mashiach. They are not inseparable in this case. What didn't happen is singly because Allah didn't will it to happen. And what will not happen is singly because Allah did not will it to happen. So the Shaykh says, فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَهُوَ كَائِنْ بِقُدْرَتِهِ لَا مَحَالَ. So whatever Allah wills, Allah the Most High wills, then it will happen. By whatever He wills, it will happen. How will it happen? By means of His power. And there is no doubt about it. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَكُنْ لِعَدَمْ مَشِيَتِهِ إِيَّاهُ لَا لِعَدَمْ قُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ وَعَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And whatever didn't happen, or whatever Allah did not will to happen, it didn't happen due to Allah not willing it to happen, not due to Allah's inability to make it happen. Yani whatever didn't happen, it's because Allah didn't will it to happen, not because Allah wasn't able to make it happen. It didn't happen because Allah didn't will it. Allah is high removed and far, and He is mighty and He is majestic. Yani too high and great for something not to happen because He doesn't have the ability to make it happen. Rather, it doesn't happen because He doesn't will it to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 44th Ayat, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. And it is not possible that anything in the heavens nor in the earth can escape from Allah. Indeed, He is Alim and Qadira. He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful. And He knows everything and He's able to do everything. Now, 44. Now, you can check, but anyway, at the end, inshallah, we can confirm it. That's what I think it is. I could be wrong. Maybe I was rushing. Five. وَالْمَرْتَبَةُ الرَّابِيَةُ. And the fourth level, or the fourth degree of having iman in qadha, is al-iman بِأَنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Believing that Allah the Most High is the creator of everything. That He is the creator of everything. Whatever Allah wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be. And when He wills something, it will be how? Because He will create it. He will bring it into existence. He is the creator of everything. There is nothing that exists except He is the creator of it. The Shaykh says, وَأَنَّهُ مَا مِنْ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا وَاللَّهُ خَالِقُهَا. And there is not even a dharra. Yani the people usually say an atom, because that's the smallest thing that they knew when they were saying that. But actually a dharra, wallahu alam, means a very small ant. But what is intended by it, whatever is the smallest thing that is known, then not even the smallest thing that is known in the heavens nor in the earth exists, nor what is between them, except that Allah is the creator of it. Except that Allah is the creator of it. وَخَالِقُ حَرَكَاتِهَا وَسَكَنَاتِهَا سُبْحَانَهُ لَا خَالِقَ غَيْرُهُ وَلَا رَبَّ سِوَاهُ. He is the creator of its movement, yani the movement of every created being, every creature, wherever it is in the universe. He is the creator of its movement and its stillness. سُبْحَانَهُ. He indeed is the one who is free from imperfections, the all-perfect. There is no creator other than Him, and there is no Rabb other than Him. And these are the four levels that a person needs to know and understand well. And we should read about it and know its evidences. And in the next few classes, inshallah, we'll be talking about the evidences for each one of these levels, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And I hope that every one of us will try, the young and the old, that every one of us will try to memorize at least one evidence from the Quran and one evidence from the Sunnah for each one of these levels. Because this is one of the pillars of Iman. This is what, this is one of the foundation things that Muslims believe in. Okay, the pillars of Iman. There are lots of things that we believe in that we found in the Quran and Sunnah, but the fundamentals of what we believe in are these six things. And this is one of them. And a Muslim should know it well and understand it well. From the scholars of the Sunnah, who have given us the proofs and evidences from the Quran and authentic Hadith, so that a person believes in it correctly and is certain about it without having any doubt, because we have proofs from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try to memorize. Don't say you can't do it. The oldest of us, we can do it. Take time and dedicate yourself to it. If somebody told you had to memorize some rules or regulations in order to get this $100,000 job, all of us would try to memorize it. Perhaps I might even try to memorize it. Naam. Perhaps. Because we are in need. The Muslims are in need. Naam. There are poor Muslims and other people, but especially the Muslims. And we don't have anything to give to them. We don't have much in our pockets, or in our bank books, or in our cards. I hope they are not credit cards. May Allah save us from that. Tayyib. The next question. Question number 140. ما دليل المرتبة الأولى وهي الإيمان بالعلم. What is the evidence, the dalil? Okay, we want to know what is the evidence. What is the dalil for al-martaba al-ula, the first level of the levels of iman and al-qadr. And what is this first level? Here, al-iman bil-ilm. Yani, believing that Allah the Most High has absolute knowledge of everything. Believing that Allah the Most High has absolute, complete and perfect knowledge of everything, even before it comes into existence. He knows everything that happened and everything that will happen and everything that could have happened that He didn't will to happen. If it had happened, how it would be. Allah's knowledge is perfect. He has knowledge of everything. The Shaykh, the first evidence that he brings for this is from Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 22nd Ayat, 59:22. قال الله تعالى هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة. This is what the Shaykh has quoted. He is Allah, the one who there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. عالم الغيب والشهادة. This is the point here. عالم الغيب والشهادة. He is the one who has knowledge of the unseen and that which is seen. That which is not witnessed and that which is witnessed. وَهُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning this, two points I want to make. The first of them is the beginning of the ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us here that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. So there is no Rabb other than Him. And there is nothing that should be worshipped existing in the universe besides Him. And everything that is worshipped besides Him is batil. Everything that is worshipped besides Him is batil. It's false. False. It has no right to be worshipped. And then he says, rahimahullah, the point of our discussion here, وَأَنَّهُ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, the meaning of this, and that he is the all-knower of what is unseen and that which is seen. Meaning, he knows جَمِيعَ الْكَائِنَاتِ الْمُشَاهِدَاتِ لَنَا وَالْغَائِبَاتِ عَنَّا فَلَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ مِنْ جَلِيلٍ وحقير وصغير وكبير حتى ذر في الظلمات. That Allah is the one who knows everything that is hidden and that which is seen. He knows all of the existing things that we witness, that we see, and those things that are out of our sight, that we don't see. So there is nothing at all in the earth nor in the heaven that is hidden from Him, whether it's something that is of great importance, valuable, precious, or something that is insignificant. Whether it is something that is small or tiny, or something that is big or great. Even the dharra fi dhulumat, yani even the yani ant or the seed that is in the darkness, yani the darkness of the night, the darkness of the earth, the darkness of the sea, in any kind of darkness. And you know, we can't see in the dark, right? But Allah, He has knowledge of everything. This is the first evidence that the Shaykh mentions, that Allah is Alim al-Ghaybi wa Shahada. He knows everything that is hidden and that which is seen. The second evidence that he mentions is from the Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 12th Ayat. Yani 65:12. The saying of Allah the Most High, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And that Allah has encompassed everything with His knowledge. Allah has encompassed everything in His knowledge. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, I'm sorry, he didn't comment on this ayat. He said he mentioned it previously. So I went to the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says that this ayat, the beginning of it, Allah says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna. That Allah is the one who created the seven heavens and from the earth the like of it. Yani seven earths. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْعَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ. And the command of Allah descends between them, between the seven heavens and the earth. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you all, the people, so that you all will know that Allah has power over everything. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And that Allah has encompassed everything in His knowledge. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, in this ayat Allah informs, أَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ مِنَ السَّمَوَاتِ السَّبْعَ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَالْأَرْضِينَ السَّبْعَ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ وَأَنْزَلَ الْأَمْرَ وَهُوَ الشَّرَاعِ والأحكام الدينية التي أوهاها إلى رسله لتذكير العباد ووعظهم وكذلك الأوامر القونية والقدرية التي يدبر بها الخلق. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the creation, يعني everything from the seven heavens and whoever is in them of creatures, and the seven earths, al-ardina sab'a, وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ, and whoever is in them of created beings, وَمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ, and whatever is between them. Allah is the one who created all of this. And then He sent down the command, al-amr, the creation, al-khalq, He created everything, and then He sent down the command, the amr. And this amr, He said, it is al-shara'i, wal-ahkam al-diniya, yani the religious rulings and laws which Allah has revealed to His messengers to remind His servants and to warn them. And the Amr also includes Al-Awamir Al-Qawniya Al-Qadariya, yani the commands of Allah, the universal commands that Allah has decreed, through which or by which He manages and controls the whole universe. All of this has been done, the creation of everything that exists, and the command that Allah has sent, the religious laws and regulations, and the universal laws that Allah has set in motion to control the universe. All of this, كُلُّ ذَلَكَ لِأَجْلِ أَنْ يَعْرَفُوا الْإِبَادِ أَنْ يَعْرَفُهُ. All of this is so that the servants, the worshippers, will know Him. وَيَعْلَمُوا إِحَاطَةَ قُدْرَتِهِ بِالْأَشْيَاءِ كُلِّهَا. And that they will know that His power controls everything, all of it. And also, وَإِحَاطَتْ عِلْمِهِ بِجَمِيعِ الْأَشْيَاءِ, and that his knowledge encompasses all things. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوهُ بِأَوْصَافِهِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى وَعَبَدُوهُ وَحَبُّوهُ وَقَامُوا بِحَقِّهِ فَهَذِهِ الْغَايَةِ الْمَقْصُودَةِ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ وَالْعَمْرَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ وَإِبَادَتِهِ. So if they, the creatures, came to know Allah by His awsaf al-muqaddasa, His yani divine characteristics, wa asma'ihi al-husna, and His beautiful names, if they came to know Him by His names and characteristics, wa abaduhu, and they worshipped Him, wa habbuhu, and they loved Him, wa qamu bihaqihi, and they fulfilled His rights. They came to know Him, and they worshipped Him, and they loved Him, and they fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is what is intended by the khalq and the amr, by Allah's creating the creation and sending His commands. The objective, the purpose of it all, what is intended by it, is ma'rifatullah wa ibadatihi, that the people will know Allah and that they will worship Him. That they will know Allah and that they will worship Him. And from His sifat, from His asma is al-alim, and from His sifat is al-ilm, al-kamil, that Allah is the all-knowing, and He is described with perfect knowledge. So whoever knows this, this is a means, or a source, or inspiration, or motivation for that person to realize and to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He has a right to be worshipped. And this is an encouragement, to encourage a person, to push a person, when they are lazy, to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He deserved that they be fulfilled. So if a person knows Allah and they worship Him and they fulfill these rights, then they are from those who Allah has given success to from His righteous servants. These are those who Allah has given success to. And whoever turns away from this, then they are the zalimun, al-mu'ridun, the wrongdoers who have turned away. The third ayat that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Saba, 34th Surah, 3rd ayat, 34:3. The saying of Allah, 34:3, the saying of Allah, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا أَصْغَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرُ. That He is the knower of the unseen, and not even the smallest thing in the heavens, nor in the earth, nor anything smaller than that or greater than that escapes from His knowledge. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, in the beginning of this ayat, the ayat begins with the saying of Allah, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and those who disbelieve, they said, لَا تَأْتِينَ السَّاعَةَ, the hour of judgment will not come to us. It will not come upon us. We're not worried about that. This, who said this? The kuffar. And the people who say that openly, it is clear. But what about the people who say we believe in the hour, but we act like we don't believe in it? What is our condition? What is our condition? Saying that you believe in it is one thing. They said they don't believe in it. They're honest about it. But what about the people who say that we believe in the hour, but we don't act like we're going to be called to account? Every day, we come out of our places and we look and we speak and we act and we go places and we do things that we will be called to account for. They said we don't believe, so they did whatever they wanted to do. And we say that we believe. And perhaps, sometimes we do whatever we want to do, as though we are not going to be called to account. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَأْتِينَ السَّاعَةَ, the hour will not come to us, said the disbelievers. قُلْ, Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ, say, بَلَى وَرَبِّي, indeed, by my Rabb, I swear by my Rabb, رَبِّي, بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ, it will definitely come to you. The hour of judgment will come upon you. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say what? I swear by my Rabb. And then he describes his Rabb. عالم الغيب لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين. I swear by my Rob, the one who is the all-knower of everything that is unseen, the one who nothing, not even that which is the weight of an atom in the heavens or in the earth, or smaller than that or greater than that, escapes from him, except that it is in a clear book, recorded. And Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions that this ayat is one of three ayats, and there are three of them only in the Quran, where Allah orders the Prophet ﷺ to swear by him that the hour of judgment is definitely going to come. And he mentions those ayats. And then he goes on to say, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ, the ordering of the Prophet ﷺ, say, بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ, I swear by my Rabb, it will definitely come to you. Then, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself with that which confirms this reality, that the one who is swearing by him, certainly it will come to being. He is the one who knows the unseen, and nothing, even that which is the weight of an atom in the heavens on the earth, or smaller than that or greater than that, escapes from him. It is all recorded in a book. He mentions the saying of Mujahid wa Qatada, la ya'azubu anhu, means la yaghibu anhu. La ya'azubu anhu means nothing will be absent from him, yani from his knowledge. Meaning, al-jami'u mundarijun tahta ilmihi. Everything comes under his knowledge. Everything is within the scope of his knowledge. So there is nothing at all hidden from him. And we're talking about what? About the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His perfect and complete knowledge, which is the first level or the first degree of believing in the divine pre-decree. That Allah knew everything. He knows everything. But He knew it from the beginning, yani before He created anything. The fourth evidence that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah 59th Ayat. 6. 59. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ, to the end of the ayat. Yani the Shaykh mentions it like that. That with him, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the keys of the unseen, and no one knows them except him. Yani Allah has knowledge of the unseen, the keys of the unseen. And no one knows these things except Allah. No one. Not scholars, rulers, scientists, doesn't matter. No one knows these things except Allah. So, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he mentions this ayat in its complete form. Yani the rest of the ayat. That is, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ, that with him are the keys of the unseen. No one knows them except him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, and he also knows whatever is on the land and whatever is in the sea. And more specifically now, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا, and there is no leaf that falls from a tree or from anywhere except that he knows that. Every leaf in the universe that falls from a tree, Allah knows about it. Every single one of them. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, nor is there a seed that is in the darkness of the earth, yani underground. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ, nor something moist or dry. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, except that it is in a clear book, yani that Allah has written based upon His all-encompassing knowledge. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says concerning this ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ, that with Allah is the keys of the unseen and no one knows them except Him. قَالَ الْبُخَارِي, يعني الحافظ ابن كثير says, قَالَ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ ابْنِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْرَهِيمِ, to the end of the isnad of Imam Bukhari, which he narrates from Ibn Shihab, the great scholar of the scholars of hadith from the Tabi'een, from Salim ibn Abdullah. Allah, عن أبيه رضي الله عنه, يعني from his father, yani his father, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْسٌ, the keys of the unseen are five. The keys of the unseen are five. Somebody tell me one of them. One of them, now. Huh? The knowledge of the hour, naam. Another one. The rain, naam. The coming that's raining, naam. Yawm al-Qiyamah, he said the hour, naam. No one knows where they will die, naam. What is in the womb? Not sex, what is in the womb? The ayat and the hadith is clear about this. What is in the womb? What is in the womb? And this requires a full discussion by itself. Some of the scholars have spoken about this, from the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, mashallah, clarify this issue with complete clarity. No one knows what is in the womb. Do they know that there's something in there? Okay, they might know that. They have some machines where they look. I don't know what they call that stuff, right? What do they call it? Ultrasound and so on, whatever, right? So they said, we know what's in the womb. Yeah. They might even have some ideas that a male or a female. Do they know that it will be born alive? Do they know when it will be born? How long it will live? What will be its sustenance? What will be its end in Jannah or Nar? They don't know. They don't know. They don't know what is in the womb. But Allah's knowledge of His creature is all-encompassing. He knows the creature, when it will come into existence, how long it will live, what will be its sustenance, what will be its deeds, what will be its ultimate end. This is the knowledge of Allah. Allah is the only one who has this knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the keys of the unseen are five. لا يعلمها إلا الله. إن الله عنده علم الساعة. He has the knowledge of the hour. وينزل الغيث. And he knows about the rain, when it will come down. Even though they guess right sometimes, they look at some scientific stuff. Yeah, they do have some knowledge about some of this. But it's based on what Allah has decreed. And if Allah changed the course of the winds or the clouds or whatever, He has control. They don't control the clouds. They don't control the winds. Allah controls that. Then they guess wrong. Naam. Then they guess wrong. Allah is the one who knows about the coming down of the rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and He knows what is in the wombs. Exactly what is in there. And what it will be and how it will be. And its characteristics and descriptions and actions and everything about it. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَقْسِبُ غَدًا, and no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. What it will earn tomorrow. Some people wish that they will make a lot of money tomorrow. But it might not happen. Nobody knows what they will earn tomorrow of wealth, of deeds, righteous deeds or sinful deeds or whatever. Nobody knows what they will get tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِ نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ, and nobody knows in which land they will die. May Allah save us from dying in the land of kufr. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, indeed Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 34th Ayat. This hadith from Sahih Al-Bukhari, number 4627, in the Arabic edition of Sahih Al-Bukhari, 4627. Huh? Surah Al-Luqman, 31, 34. And just quickly, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning this ayat, yani the other part of the ayat, that Allah knows what is on the land and what is in the sea, that is, His knowledge, His noble knowledge, encompasses everything that exists, whether it is on land or whether it is in the sea. And none of that is hidden from Him, not even the atom that is in the earth, or the smallest thing that is in the earth, or that is in the heavens. And He's saying that not even a leaf falls except that Allah knows it. He said it means He knows its movement. He knows the movement of every creature, even the inanimate creatures. Yani stones and metal and inanimate things. So what about the hayawanat, the living things? What do you think He knows about them? Especially those who are responsible for their behavior from them. Yani, Not the animals and plants, but the human beings and the jinn. And this is like the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-Ghafir, 40th Surah, 19th Ayat, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. That Allah knows the deception of the eyes. Yani, when the person looks out the corner of their eye at something, so nobody will see that they are looking. Allah knows this. And He knows what is hidden in the chest, the secrets that people keep. Allah has knowledge of everything. The fifth ayat that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 124th ayat. 6:124. وقال تعالى الله أعلم حيث يجعل رسالته. And Allah knows best where to place His risala, His message. Yani when He sends a message through a prophet or a messenger, He knows who to give it to. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says concerning this statement, yani that this ayah begins with the saying, وَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ قَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نُؤْتَى مِثْلَ مَا أُوْتِيَ رُسُولُ اللَّهِ. That when an ayat, yani a clear proof, a weighty decisive ayat is revealed, comes to them, yani to challenge them, to obey Allah, to submit, to surrender, when it comes to them, they say, we will not believe in it until we are given the like of what is given to the messengers of Allah. Yani we want revelation to come to us. Then we will believe. And Allah responds to them with this saying, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. And Allah knows best where to place His risala, His message. سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا صَغَارٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَمْكُرُونَ. That those criminals, yani who said this kind of saying and act like this kuffar, they will be afflicted with humiliation in front of Allah, and a severe punishment due to that which they plotted and planned. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says concerning this saying, that when an ayah comes to them and say, we will not believe until there comes to us the like of what came to the messengers of Allah. That is, if there comes to them ayatun wa burhanun wa hujjatun qati'atun. Yani an ayat, a proof, a clear, decisive, conclusive evidence, a hujjah that will be established against them, that they won't be able to say they didn't know. We didn't have any idea. Nobody told us. When it comes to them, they say, we will not believe until the like of what was given to the messengers of Allah is given to us. Meaning, until the angels come to us from Allah with a message. Yani, we want Allah to send angels with a message coming to us, just like it came to the messengers. So the saying of Allah, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu, Allah knows best where to place His message, it means He is the best knower of where to place His message and who, yani, will be fitting, be worthy for the message to be given to them from amongst His creatures. And then he mentions some other sayings similar to this, the saying of the people of Mecca, that if the Quran had been revealed to a great man from one of the two cities, and instead of to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it was revealed to one of our great men from Mecca or Taif, if only it had been revealed, meaning if it had been revealed to someone other than him, yani they didn't think much of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, perhaps we will believe if it was given to one of our great leaders. And the Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions this, and he said, they said this while they confessed to His excellence and His nobility and His clean lineage, family that He came from, and the purity of His house, and so on. They confessed to this to the extent that even before the revelation came to Him, they used to call Him, what? Al-Amin. They called Him Al-Amin. So what more do they want then? Who do they want the message to come to except one who's trustworthy, who's worthy of holding the message, delivering it without cheating on it or deceiving the people? And even the leader of the Quraysh, Ra'is al-Kuffar, Abu Sufyan, who was the kafir in that time, when he was asked by the king of Rome about the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ, He said he possessed the greatest of lineage, and he comes from a noble family. And when he asked him other questions, the leader of the Roman, the Roman king, he concluded from the questions that he asked, and from amongst them was, who are his followers? He said, the unimportant people, the ignoble people, the people who are of no status. He said, indeed, he is a messenger. That's the followers of the Prophet and messenger are from these people. And yet, even with that, yani, a man from another land, he can recognize this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger of Allah, but his own people, they said, we will not believe unless Allah sends angels with a message to us. And Allah said, he knows best where to place his message. He knows who is fit to receive this message. The sixth evidence that the Shaykh mentions of the perfect and complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one of the degrees of Al-Qadha wal-Qadha. The saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُحْتَدِينَ. That indeed your Rabb, He is the one who knows best who will go astray, who has gone astray from His way, and He knows best who is rightly guided. And again, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentions the beginning of this saying, from the beginning of the ayat, أُدُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling to the commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and call to the way of your Rabb with hikmah, with wisdom, and al-mawa'idhat al-hasana, and beautiful or good teachings, preaching, yani that will affect the people and attract them and bring them around. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنَ. And if they need to be argued with, then argue with them by that which is ahsan, not by that which is hasan, but by that which is ahsan, with the best of what can be said to them, yani that will be effective in making them see what you are calling them to. Sometimes we argue with people and we just raise our voice, or we scream and shout, or we call them names, or we say whatever we say as though that has some, yani that will be the means to convincing people to follow the right way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and argue with them, those who need to be argued with, billati hi ahsan. Now, we will come to this, inshallah. We will come to this. This is the beginning of the ayat. And then Allah says, yani, call them, invite them to the way of your Rabb with hikmah and beautiful teaching, and argue with them with that which is best. Indeed, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. He knows best who has gone away from his path. And he knows best who is rightly guided. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, what is the meaning of this? Yani, before we come to the meaning of it, just briefly, yani, as a point of benefit for da'wah, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, yani, that the hikmah, it is that which Allah has revealed to him, that is from the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the first thing. What is the hikmah? It is that which Allah has revealed to him in the Quran and the Sunnah. Naam. This is from Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 125th Ayat, 16:125. The hikmah is that which Allah has revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran and the Sunnah. وَالْمَوَئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, that is, it means that which contains زَوَاجِرْ وَوَقَاعِ بِالنَّاسِ, yani that which will be a warning to them and will be an admonition to them, yani which will affect them, yani when it's said, it will affect them, it will weigh heavy on them, they will not just brush it off easily. Yani, this is what you use to argue with them, with strong proofs that are crystal clear, that are convincing, that are decisive, that they can't get away from, except they know that this is the truth. They might not accept it, but they know when they come from that argument that, yani, they are turning away from the truth if they turn away. And this is so that you will remind them and warn them, and that you will warn the people with this. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنْ. A, those who need to be argued with, then argue with them, فَلْيَكُنْ بِالْوَجْهِ الْحَسَنِ, but with a nice face, بِرِفْقٍ وَلِينٍ, with gentleness and easiness, وَحُسْنُ الْخِطَابِ, and with nice speech. How do you argue with them? with a nice face, a smile, and gentleness and kindness and easiness and gentle, kind, easy, good speech. This is وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And the Shaykh mentions some other things too, but yani for the sake of time. How does this relate to what the Shaykh mentions here? After this, yani call them to the way of your Rabb with wisdom and beautiful teaching, argue with them in ways that are best. Indeed, your Rabb, He is the best knower of who has strayed from His path, and He is the best knower of those who are guided. Meaning, from the beginning of time, عَلِمَ الشَّقِي مِنْهُمْ وَالسَّعِيدِ. Allah already knew from the very beginning, before He created the heavens and the earth, who is going to be shaqiyun, the wretched, yani the people of the hellfire, and who is going to be sa'idun, the fortunate, who will be in the paradise. Yani Allah is telling the Prophet, call the people to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful teaching and argue with them in ways that are best. But Allah already knows who in the رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. He knows the one, بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. He knows those who have gone astray from His path. He already knows who is going to end up in the hellfire. And He knows those who are rightly guided, yani those who are going to accept the message. He already knew this, وَكَتَبَ ذَلِكَ عَنْدَهُ وَفَرَغَ مِنْهُ. And He wrote it down in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and He's finished with the matter. It's sealed. Allah already knows. But nonetheless, Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ, call them in the best way, so they have no excuse. You have closed every avenue for them to complain. You were called with the best speech, in the best ways, with wisdom. And Allah already knows who is going to accept. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir is saying, so he has been ordered to call them to Allah. And don't let yourself become upset or frustrated over whether they accept or not. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ. Because it's not your responsibility to guide them. Rather, your responsibility is to call them with the proper calling. Your responsibility is not to guide them. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ. You are only a warner. عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ. It is upon you to deliver the message. وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. And the accounting is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in another ayah in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَتَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. That you cannot guide whomever you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah is the one who guides whoever He wills. In Surah Al-Qasas, 28, 56 ayat. And He mentions, besides that, other ayats of similar meaning. Naam. Wallahu musta'an. Let's try to finish these ayats at least. The seventh dalil that the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah, 53rd Ayat, 6:53. The saying of Allah the Most High, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Is not Allah the best knower of those who are grateful, those who are thankful, those who appreciate? Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, the beginning of this ayat is what? وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَّنَّا بَعْدَهُمْ بِبَعْدٍ. And indeed we have tested and tried some of them by others. Some of them are tested by others. And this is the context of it. لِيَقُولُوا أَهَٰؤُلَاءِ مِنَّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. Is it these? Yani these low people? Yani the aristocrats of the Quraysh? They were tested by the poor people of Quraysh. By the slaves and the former slaves and the people who were in poverty. Who were with the Prophet ﷺ. Yani Allah says, indeed, we have tested some of them by others of them. So that they would say, are these أَهَٰؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. These are the ones Allah has given His favor to. He has guided, this is something good, He guided them and didn't guide us. If it was worth anything, we would be the ones guided. Not these people. So that was a trial for them. Allah answered them by saying what? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمُ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Is Allah not the best knower of who would appreciate the guidance that He is offering? Is Allah not the best knower of this? Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he says the background of this is that a group of the leaders of the Quraysh were passing by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he had with him Khabbab and Suhaib and Bilal and Ammar. Yani the poor, the slaves, the former slaves from the least, the lowest of the people that was present in Mecca. When they passed by him, he had these poor people amongst him radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So they said, O Muhammad, are you pleased with these people? Yani, you content with this? Huh? So Allah revealed to them, He revealed in reference to them, this ayah from the Quran or these ayat, وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَن يُحْشَرُوا إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Yani, warned by it, by the Quran, the message that you have been given, warned by those who fear that they will be gathered and resurrected and called in front of their Rabb. Warned by who? The people who fear their Rabb, not these people. The people who are sitting with you. And then Allah, to what Allah said, is not Allah the best knower of those who would be grateful? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, yani, this saying of these people, these people, kuffar, who thought they were better than somebody else, Allah answered them by saying, yani, answered their saying when they said, are these the ones who Allah has given His favor to from amongst us? Allah answered them by saying, is not Allah the best knower of those who would be grateful? Meaning, أَلَيْسَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ لَهُ بِأَقْوَالِهِمْ وَأَفْعَالِهِمْ وَضَمَائِرِهِمْ. Is not Allah the best knower of those who would be grateful to Him? They will show their gratitude by their speech. And they will show their gratitude by their actions. And that which is hidden within them. That which is the reality of what's inside of them. Allah knows that these people are grateful. Their hearts are grateful. Their speech reflected and their actions manifested. So what about us? Are we grateful for the message that Allah has delivered to us? Naam. Because it has to be manifested not just in speech, but in action, and it has to be from the heart. Because Allah knows, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمْ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah knows who is grateful for what He has revealed, this way that He has given to us. So Allah knows those who will be grateful to Him. فَيُوَفِّقَهُمْ فَيُوَفِّقُهُمْ. So He will give them the success. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ, and guide them, سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ, to the ways of peace. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, and bring them out of darkness into light. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, and He will guide them to Him upon a straight path. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 69th Ayat. 29th Surah, 69th Ayat. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That verily those who strive in our way, yani in the way of Allah, in the deen of Allah, then we will guide them to our ways, to many ways of righteousness and goodness. For indeed Allah is with the muhsineen, the people of ihsan, the people who do good. Yani do good in their worship of Allah and do good by the creatures, the people, the servants of Allah. And the Shaykh, he closes this discussion with a hadith that is sahih, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. In light of this ayat, is not Allah the best knower of those who are thankful, who are grateful? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَلْوَانِكُمْ. And in some of the narrations it says, أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَمَالِكُمْ. This is a tremendous hadith. That indeed, Allah does not look at your outward forms, nor does He look at your colors. And in some of the narrations it says, your outward forms, nor your wealth. But rather, He looks at your hearts and your deeds. Allah is not concerned about what you look like on the outside, nor is He concerned about your color, or your wealth, or your property that you possess. But rather, Allah is looking at the hearts, which is the source of all good or evil, and He looks at the deeds that are manifested from what is in the heart. So a person has to consider the condition of their heart first and foremost, to purify the heart and to rectify the heart. And this will produce good deeds. And the eighth ayah that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 10th Ayah, 29:10. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي صُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ is Allah not the best knower of what is in the heart of all creatures? And this saying also came in a complete ayat, yani the somewhat lengthy, and the meaning of it is that there are some people from amongst the people, there are those who say we believe in Allah, but when they are harmed in the way of Allah, yani some fitna or trial that they are tested by because they believe somebody may punish them or harm them, then they take the fitna of the people as it is as the punishment of Allah. Yani they act, they fear the fitna of the people the way they should fear the punishment of Allah. وَلَئِنْ جَاءَهُمْ وَلَئِنْ جَاءَ نَصْرٌ يعني وَلَئِنْ جَاءَ نَصْرٌ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَيُقُولُنَّ إِنَّا كُنَّ مَعَكُمْ. But if a victory comes from your Rabb, then they will say, indeed, we were with you. And Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي صُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Is not Allah the best knower of what is in the heart of all creatures? Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says that Allah the Most High is informing us here, وَلَئِنْ جَاءَ نَصْرٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, that if a victory comes from your Rabb, then they will definitely say, indeed, we were with you. Now they are with you. Naam. Then Allah says to them, is not Allah the best knower of what is really in the hearts of all creatures? A, is not Allah, meaning, is not Allah the best knower of what is in their hearts and what their insides, their inner beings cover or hide, even though openly they may appear to be in agreement with you. But Allah knows what's in their hearts. And then Allah goes on to say, وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And indeed Allah knows, He will know those who believe and those who are hypocrites. That is in the next ayah, 29:11. Meaning Allah will test the people with harms and يعني affluence or good times in order to distinguish these people from those people. And the ninth ayat, yani so that we can finish bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The ninth ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 30th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِقُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And when your Rabb said to the angels, verily I am going to place in the earth a Khalifa, they said, will you place in it that which will make mischief in the earth and shed blood, while we, yani, declare your perfection and praise you and declare your holiness? He said, Allah said to the angels, verily I know what you do not know. I know what you do not know. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions, yani, concerning the angels, yani, that this was not, yani, they were not challenging Allah or differing or questioning Allah. Rather, they were asking to make clear to us, what is the wisdom? If these creatures are going to shed bloodshed and make corruption, why are you bringing them? If the objective of creating them is to worship you, we are already worshipping you. We are worshipping you. So what is the need for these people? They want to know. They want to understand. They are not challenging Allah's wisdom, but they are asking, what is the wisdom behind it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them by saying, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you do not know. Verily, I know the maslaha rajiha, the greater benefit in the creation of this type of creature, the greater benefit that will be greater than the harm that you are mentioning. I know the greater benefit that you do not know about. For indeed, I am going to place in these people that are going to make corruption and make bloodshed in the earth, I am going to place amongst them al-anbiya, the prophets. And I will send to them ar-rusul, messengers. And they will be present amongst them as-siddiqoon, the truthful, wa-shuhada, and the martyrs, wa-salihoon, and the righteous, wa-al-ubbad, the worshippers, wa-zuhad, the people who abstain from the world, wa-al-awliya, who are close to Allah, believing in righteousness, wa-al-abra, and the pure people, wa-al-muqarraboon, those who seek nearness to Allah, wa-al-ulama, al-alimoon, the scholars who act upon their knowledge, وَالْخَاشِعُونَ, those who have خَشْيَ, fear of Allah, وَالْمُحَبُّونَ لَهُ, and those who will love Allah تبارك وتعالى, وَالْمُتَّبِعُونَ الرُّسُولَ, and those who will follow His messengers, صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And the last ayat, The Shaykh mentions Surah Al-Baqarah 2:216. وقال تعالى عسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. That perhaps you hate a thing while it is good for you, fighting, he means here, and perhaps you love a thing while it is evil for you, remaining behind. And Allah knows and you do not know. Yani perhaps, Ibn Kathir says that the meaning here is perhaps that which you hate, it is fighting. The fighting that will bring about victory over the enemies and will bring about your rulership in the land and the taking of the wealth of the people and so on, the spoils of war. And perhaps you love something which is evil for you, that is, remaining behind from the battlefield, even though you love something that doesn't have any good in it or any benefit, that is, remaining behind from the battlefield, which would lead to your enemies overtaking you and controlling your land and ruling over you. And then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, meaning Allah knows best what will be the end of affairs for you. And here, and Allah is most informed of what will be the maslaha, the benefit, in your worldly affairs and in your next life. فَاسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ وَانْقَادُوا لِأَمْرِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَرْشُدُونَ. So answer Allah's call and submit to His command that perhaps you will be guided. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.